Let's return to the story of the Rohingya. They're a Muslim minority group in Buddhist-majority Myanmar, and they have been persecuted by that country's government for decades, so much so that many flee for something better somewhere else. Sometimes they go by boat south toward Malaysia, or they go across the border into neighboring Bangladesh. By some estimates, there are now more than 500,000 Rohingya stranded in Bangladesh, which has grudgingly offered them refuge, but not acceptance. As Michael Sullivan reports from southern Bangladesh, local patience is wearing thin.
I'm walking down what will soon be the new highway that will link this place, Teknaf, with its beautiful beaches on the Bay of Bengal, with Cox's Bazar, 50 miles up the road. And the developers have already staked out their claims alongside the road for when this road gets finished. And that's what the Bangladeshi government is hoping for. They're hoping that this will be the new beach tourist destination.
How much?
Until then, Cox's Bazar will have to do. And it has its charms. A terrifying jet ski ride, for instance, on what's billed as the world's longest beach. And there's parasailing and pony rides, too. But it's still very much a work in progress. Getting to the beachside hotels can be a challenge on roads packed with rickshaws, motorbikes, and really big buses on really narrow streets. But they're working on it. And Lieutenant Colonel Anwar Ul Islam, who heads the Cox's Bazar Development Authority, has big plans, starting with the new airport.
We look for other tourists from all over the world. We have a goal to attract them. Yeah, that's why the airport is going to be the international airport.
So you're building a newer, bigger airport to accommodate more flights and bigger planes.
Bigger planes,
And if that happens, he says, he's confident the foreign tourists will come, that Cox's Bazar will give Thailand and the Philippines a run for their money and bring badly needed jobs and investment in a country of more than 150 million that hasn't enough of either.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
But there's a problem. Almost all of those Rohingya refugees, they live in and around here. Not a big selling point for a go-to tourist destination. And the colonel knows it.
It is an issue. Actually, the government has decided if we can relocate this Rohingya to another places, it will be better.
Better for the Rohingya if they get to a third country like they want, and better for Bangladesh too. Until then, they're stuck here, not allowed to move or even work, not legally anyway. This is a brick factory, a short drive from Cox's Bazar. The brick making here, labor intensive. The workers shaping, drying, then baking the bricks that help fuel the construction boom in Cox's Bazar. The factory manager, Shah Jahan, says he hires Rohingya for the nastiest jobs, hauling the coal to bake the bricks.
We don't recruit them. If they come looking for work and we need people, we give them a job.
He's even given one Rohingya a permanent job as a mechanic to keep the ovens cooking. Hassan, we're only using his first name because he's not supposed to be working here, is 30 years old and fled here 2 years ago fearing arrest in Myanmar. And this job, he says, is the best he's had since he came here.
The last job I had, the boss tried to cheat me and didn't give me my full salary. He told me if I complained, he'd have someone hurt me. So I left and came here.
Hassan says he sends about half the $100 a month he earns back to his family still living in Myanmar. But many locals think he shouldn't even have a job as a refugee. At a nearby construction site, we meet two, Habibur Rahman and Alauddin.
We compete for the same jobs. The more of them that come, the less opportunities we have to work and to make money. They'll also work for half the wages we get.
Alauddin is more blunt.
Our country is already poor. We don't need any more Rohingya coming here and making it worse. Not all Rohingya are bad. Some are good, but they still take our jobs. And some are involved in the illegal drug trade too.
And not just the drug trade. Some analysts worry a newly formed Rohingya insurgent group could start recruiting in the camps here.
and use them as a staging area for attacks into Myanmar. In this video uploaded to YouTube, one of the group's alleged leaders calls for a Rohingya uprising against the Myanmar military. If that happens, it could prompt another furious response from the military and another wave of refugees. This might help explain the Bangladeshi government's announcement in January it was going ahead with plans to relocate the Rohingya refugees to a remote island some 3 hours away by boat. That announcement caused alarm in the international aid community and fear among the Rohingya.
They don't want to go to the island of Thengachar.
Abul Qasim is an unlikely advocate for the Rohingya, a Bangladeshi human rights activist who runs the NGO Help Cox's Bazaar.
Who would want to be sent to an island where the water swells up and people cannot live? None of them are willing to go to Thengachar.
He's sympathetic to his countrymen's complaints about competition for scarce resources, but he's more sympathetic to the Rohingya's plight.
They neither get support in their country, nor can they feel at home here in this country. They are really vulnerable. They are deprived of all their rights of education, country, religion, and language. They're deprived of everything.
The Rohingya have no good options, he says. Stay in squalid camps here, barely surviving, or risk returning home to Myanmar and retribution from the military. Of the 70,000 who fled since October, only a handful have chosen to go back. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh.
And our series on the Rohingya this week was produced by Ashley Westerman. You can find more of that reporting on the Rohingya and photos from their trip to southern Bangladesh at npr.org.